Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel and DraftKings for Friday, May 11th. Normally, you guys know I would have my man Josh Fernandez on the line. Josh is still on the DL. Mentioned that on today's pod. I'm recording this Thursday. Still on the DL, man. We're wishing Josh he gets better soon. So I'm going to rock this one solo, get it out to you guys early on schedule here. We're going to take a look at tomorrow night's games. We got 14 games on the main slate, which begins in Baltimore. A couple series are going to stay the same as today, but a couple new ones to add into the mix, of course, for the weekend. Some fun ones to watch over the weekend. The White Sox Cubs will be a good one, of course. The Red Line series there, and sticking with the rivalry theme, you got Texas Houston, and of course the one that everybody always looks forward to, the Mariners Tigers classic rivalry in baseball. I'm kidding. No, it's just those two. Should be a good weekend though for the Red Line series in Chicago. But let's go ahead. We're going to take a look at on Friday night what the pitchers are doing, what Vegas has to say about it right now, and then we'll get you guys a nice player pool started for your Friday lineups. Okay, first game of the night in Baltimore. Jacob Faria going up against Kevin Gausman. This one is an 8.5 run total, and the Rays are road favorites against Gausman. Makes good sense. Gausman has not been very good, and Faria actually put together a decent start last time out. His numbers were looking really, really bad, and all of a sudden, he started to trend in the right direction. Had a nice outing against Detroit, a really nice outing against Detroit, and then, went into the fifth and looked solid against Toronto. So he seems to be getting his sea legs back, a good thing for the Rays. Faria was good last year. I have to think you got to be on the Rays side here. There's not a ton of lefties that you like, but they've been effective. It's an interesting salary filler option either side, both relatively inexpensive, an 8.5 run total. Not bad. Not my favorite game of the night. Oakland in New York. The Yankees will host the Athletics. We'll have Andrew Triggs versus Sonny Gray, and this one does not have a line yet, probably because the Yanks are in action tonight. We'll get a good sense of that, but I have to think that this will actually probably be a decent line. I think this one will probably be a 9.5 maybe. And the A's won't be favored, but I think that they should be at least, in consideration, to put up a decent number against Sonny Gray, who is struggling mightily right now. Mets at the Phillies. Steven Matz will take on Jake Arrieta. Speaking of struggling, Arrieta had a rough outing in his most recent go of it. Phillies are favored at home here. 8.5 run total. Slight favorites for Arrieta. He had a rough go. He had a rough go in Miami. That was the one real bad blow-up spot. And then his following start in Washington was solid. He got through it, did okay. Matz has he has been a mixed bag. That's what I'll describe him as, a mixed bag. Just put in a quality start, however, against Colorado. Looked pretty good. His most recent work suggests that he seems to be getting it back under control. Doesn't mean that I don't like the Phillies. I've liked the Phillies kind of quietly all season long. I like what their offense is capable of doing. Giants at the Pirates. Andrew Suarez versus Jameson Taillon. You want to talk about a pitcher who is really cooking right now? Suarez just put up 34 and 40 fantasy points in his last two starts. Really looking good. And the numbers on this kid are interesting, so we'll keep him in mind versus the Pirates. You know, Pirates bats coming alive a little bit recently in that Chicago series. They looked okay. Taillon is going to be the home favorite by a slight edge, but only a 8-run total here. Makes good sense to me. We'll see. We'll see if it stays that way. My guess is that it will. Right now, one book has it kind of even. Boston at Toronto. This one is currently at an 8-run total, and Toronto a slight, this is weird. Wow. Slight home favorite? Not much. Pretty even. Well, no, sorry. The opening line had Boston as a favorite here. Okay. I'm seeing two different spots. Chris Sale versus Aaron Sanchez. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Boston here, and that they're absolutely favorites. So I'm not really sure what that other book was thinking there. Yeah, I mean, Chris Sale versus Aaron Sanchez, no doubt about it. Sanchez struggling in a major way. He should be. And numbers just aren't there. I mean, he's had a couple good starts, but the numbers just aren't there. He had one of his good starts against Boston, but then he got blown up by the Rays. So he's been okay, but the walk rate is there. You know, that's definitely not his strength. He's struggling to control the ball. Despite the good outing against them last time, I just don't see it. I think I'm interested in Boston here to get to Sanchez a second time around. Kansas City in Cleveland. It is an 8-run total with Jason Hamill going up against Trevor Bauer. Bauer is the home favorite in this one. You have to, I think, side potentially also with the Cleveland offense. I think that they're more interesting in this situation. They should be able to get a hold of Hamill, who has really, really struggled and not put up very good numbers here. So, Bauer, we know, he's been consistent. Like, he's been really consistent in his tweets and conspiracy theories, but also in his pitching. So a very interesting spot for Bauer. I think he's a potentially overlooked, a little bit under-owned, but at the same time, a lot of lefties on that Royals lineup. So, yeah, I'll stand by it. Bauer is interesting. Braves Marlins, Brandon McCarthy versus Dan Straley down in Miami. This one is looking like a 8.5-run total here. Atlanta is the road favorite. Straley really, really struggled in his two starts since returning. He's been rough. The numbers are not good, and he has not made it more than 4 innings, and in both situations allowed 10 base runners and 7 base runners. So something is wrong with Straley. Let's just say that. Braves offense looking sharp. Yeah, I think that is definitely not a spot that that we should ignore here. Braves offense, even though they're on the road and not really a good hitter's park, maybe a little bit of a low total. It's interesting to me. Mariners, Tigers, 2 lefties here. Marco Gonzalez versus Matthew Boyd. And this one is a 9-run total. Detroit, slight home favorites. Matt Boyd, some of the numbers are bad. Some of the numbers are good. He's been a mixed bag, to say the least. The fly ball rate is unbelievable. It's obscene. But, you know, I mean, last time I went after Matt Boyd, he cooked it. He cooked Tampa Bay to the tune of 7 Ks across 6 straight innings. Quality start there for him. You know, it's hard to... He's a guy that you want to attack, but if he's controlling the ball, he's actually capable of being a pretty good pitcher. Marco Gonzalez's numbers looking pretty sharp. Really, like he seems to be a good part of this pitching rotation, and he's had some nice outings. So I'm interested. We'll talk a little bit more about Gonzalez here in a minute. Texas versus Houston. Cole Hamels, yikes, going up against Justin Verlander. Astros are home favorites in what is a 8-run total here. Verlander, obviously the heavy home favorite. Houston for sure. Cole Hamels, the numbers for him there, we know he's fading. We know this team loves to hit lefties. He's put together some better starts. He's clearly not as hurt, as he was last year. But you give me a chance to side with him or the Astros, I'm going to side with the Astros. He gave up 2 dingers to them. in his last start against Houston. He's actually started twice against them. 7 Ks in both starts, 2 home runs allowed in both starts. So that is what we should expect again here. Astros are going to probably take the ball out of the yard. Now the question is, can you afford the stack? I don't know that you can. Brewers-Rockies. Zach Davies versus Chad Bettis. This one is no total here, but I have to think that Rockies will be home favorites against Davies, whose profile right now, not great, not a great profile. He's struggling a little bit, allowing just too much hard contact. So Rockies lefties will be in play. We're obviously going to play them tonight. Let's see how they do. I'm sure that will be in people's memory as they go to build lineups. Nationals, Diamondbacks, Max Scherzer versus Matt Koch, Coach Matt, whatever. 7.5 run total here. Washington road favorites in this one. Makes good sense. Scherzer should cook. He should be ready to roll here. So this is going to be a nice spot for him in the desert. Twins, Angels, Lance Lynn versus Tyler Skaggs. Tyler Skaggs has been good. Lance Lynn, not so much. This one is an 8.5 run total. Angels home favorites. Skaggs is interesting, man. He's got a decent strikeout rate right now. He's struggled with a couple games, a couple of these outings. He hasn't really made it too deep, but he's shown the ability to generate a good number of strikeouts. Do I want him against this Twins team? I don't know. I do like that he's a lefty against them, obviously, with no Sano. That kind of makes things a little bit easier. He doesn't have to face that murderer's row of Kepler, Escobar, Rosario, and Morrison, who've been good at hitting righties, frankly. Skaggs is interesting. Lance Lynn, I would love him if I knew who could hit righties on this Angels team, and I really do think it's going to be a bugaboo for them as the season goes on. Dodgers continue to host the Reds. Brandon Finnegan versus Kenta Maeda. Kenta Maeda, home favorite in this one. We are going to go after Brandon Finnegan. Finnegan begin again. We're going to fucking toast you. That's basically where we're at with Brandon Finnegan. Children's songs. St. Louis versus San Diego. Luke Weaver versus Eric Lauer. And this is an 8-run total. And looks like it opened as the San Diego slight home favorites, but my thought is that's going to shift over to Luke Weaver. Even though Luke Weaver has not been unbelievable, he's been fine. He had a couple good ones that were like, oh, maybe it's going to continue like it did last year, and then he had a couple duds recently. But Eric Lauer is kind of showing us something. He had a really nice outing versus the Dodgers, a decent outing versus the Giants, and you're starting to see that this Padres rotation, maybe there's a couple guys that are interesting here. Lucchesi's doing well. Lauer's got, but at the same time, he's young. We don't have a full sample, anything, and he's allowed a lot of base runners. So there's something about me that likes the Cardinals in this situation. It's slightly a low owned, especially with how many righties they have that can just absolutely smack the lefty. So I think that could be an interesting pivot spot to go down to the Cards in San Diego. Alrighty, let's go ahead into the player breakdown and figure out exactly who we love. Who do you love? All right, let's start at the top of the slate here from what we have. Now, one of the things I want to mention to you guys, sometimes these pitchers change. Unfortunately, when I try to get this content to you guys early, it doesn't always allow me to be completely accurate. Apologize if something changes ahead of time. That's a pain in the ass. I know it's, dancing with the devil here when I do things a little bit on the early side, but I know it's helpful for folks to get out ahead of it. Scherzer versus the Diamondbacks, that seems like it is not going to change, and I don't think much is going to change with the dominant nature of Max Scherzer. Of course, 15 innings, 15 Ks last week, 4 straight innings with just strikeouts. I mean, unbelievable numbers right out. 40% K rate, a 17% swinging strike rate. Walk rate, of course, non-existent. We always worry about the fly balls and the hard contact, but if you can't hit him, what, I mean, it doesn't matter. Sierra at 2.2, it's the league's best. This man is a fucking animal. Play him. Play him, play him, play him, play him, play him. Anytime he is on the slate, I don't care that it's Arizona. I don't care that it's the desert. Does nothing about this. Makes me nervous. 24% strikeout rate for the Diamondbacks. They are absolutely primed to run into a buzzsaw that has two different colored eyes named Max Scherzer. I think you fit him in cash games. I think you try your best to fit him into your GPP lineups. It's going to create, you want to have some creativity. It's not to say that there is not, you know, other ways to go if you want to get a little bit more interesting with the bats, but there are few players on this slate that have a ceiling as high as Max Scherzer's, and I don't have to tell you that. If you play MLB DFS, you know that. So let's move on to Justin Verlander, who is also just absolutely toasting people right now. 35% K rate, a 14% swinging strike rate. Walk rate is lower than Scherzer's. Scherzer's is 6.5. Verlander is 5.5 right now, looking great. It's ridiculous what these guys are doing. Of course, they're both very similar in that they're going to allow fly balls, but you know, you got to get those fly balls. You got to get really good contact for them to go anywhere. So his home run to fly ball ratio is only 5%. It's not going anywhere. Sierra's at 2.7. So Verlander to me, very, very interesting versus Texas. You know, when we look at his other performances versus the Rangers, he had 11 Ks. He had 11 Ks across eight innings against this team earlier this year. Season opener, he had six innings, five Ks, did not allow a run in only one run in one outing there in that second. So a huge night for Justin Verlander in April when he faced this Rangers team. And it makes good sense. I mean, this Rangers squad, we know they have the lefties, but they also swing. And they are 27th right now in WRC plus, a 26% strikeout rate. Not a good indicator for that team. So I always like attacking. The Rangers. I think this is a good spot to do it again. No problem with it. Scherzer versus Verlander. I think that they are your two top options, no question. And you try to fit them in. I think they're both good for a 50 burger. And you just kind of say, okay, anything on top of that is great, but they're both good for at least that, in this situation against offenses that are struggling versus handedness. And that, you know, okay, what do you do with Chris Sale? I mean, you know, the poor guy only has a 32% strikeout rate, 5.6% walk rate, 16% swinging strike rate, absolutely killing people. 25% hard contact, a 2.8 Sierra, like, how do you just like say, well, maybe Chris Sale isn't the pitcher that I play here? Okay. Yeah. Right. That makes good sense. I think the only argument against Chris Sale is the fact that his last outing against Toronto was kind of a dud. And, you know, and so you compare him to Scherzer, who literally is a robot, and you compare him to Verlander, who's just unbelievably plowing, already plowed Texas twice this season. When you look at Chris Sale, and he went six innings, four Ks, three earned, you know, it's not as compelling. And so I think it's an easy way to talk ourselves out of Sale, but at the same time, come on, you know, it's Chris Sale. Like, the numbers are what they are for a reason. He has gotten each of the last four starts to be quality starts. And he has six total quality starts on the season. So, yeah, that's good stuff, right? I mean, yes, absolutely. I think it's very easy to say, though, however, if you're going to pay up, you're going to go to Verlander, you're going to go to Scherzer over Sale because of the quality of Toronto's offense. It's just they're just a better offense, frankly. Top 10 versus lefties right now. Top 10 versus righties right now versus the left-handers. They are, wow, 27th in the league, 20% K rate, however. So I don't necessarily see them doing a ton of damage. You know, Josh Donaldson back doesn't make me thrilled, but I'm okay with Chris Sale, of course. It'd be silly if I didn't, you know, want some Chris Sale in my life. I think if you're going to try to go cheap or maybe try to be a little bit different, there's a lot of names out there that you could go to. And Trevor Bauer, the secret's out. I mean, Bauer has been one of the most productive, you know, it's not really a secret, he's been one of the most productive pitchers in fantasy, frankly. I mean, he's basically good for 40 points every time he takes the mound. And it makes good sense because the numbers align with the performance that we're seeing, a 12% swinging strike rate, 28% K rate. Walks are a little high, nearly 10% walk rate, but generating a ground balls at a decent rate, 36% fly ball rate, 36% hard contact, but you're only seeing a 7% home run to fly ball ratio, Sierra at 3.6. So we know Bauer's going to be good. We know, you know, we know he's going to be consistent. He has been into the sixths in every game since April 7th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 straight starts, 6 straight quality starts for this guy. 7, 8 Ks, once with 11 versus Texas, which I keep seeing these huge numbers. Chris Sale had in a 12 K game against Texas. It just keeps making me go, okay, Verlander. But Bauer should be a little bit cheaper, a little bit lower owned. You know, taking on Kansas City at home, which is nice for him. Kansas City, you know, an average offense in a lot of ways versus right-handers. But a below average strikeout rate. So if you want to talk yourself out of Bauer, it's probably that there is a 16% K rate for the for the Royals. If you want to talk yourself into him, it's that he's been wicked consistent. He's probably going to get himself into a quality start, and he's going to come out at a little bit of a discount where you're probably actually able to afford some of the big name bats that you're interested in too. So Bauer fits a lot of things, fits a lot of boxes, fits a lot of boxes. Yep, that's the phrase. Checks a lot of boxes. I don't know that he will be more heavily owned or lower owned than Marco Gonzalez. But Gonzalez is showing us something right now. 25% K rate for the young fellow, a 9% swinging strike rate. And by young fellow in baseball, you're like 26 is young for these pitchers, right? Most of them are 30 something. 4% walk rate. He's showing control. That's nice. The ground balls are there too. Not a lot of fly balls. A 24% fly ball rate. Positive ground ball to fly ball ratio, 37% hard contact, sure. But the Sierra's at 3.1. And when you're controlling games like that by not walking, not, you know, giving up a lot of walks, and you're allowing, you know, you're generating a decent number of ground balls, you get the outings that he's had. And he's had some nice ones, you know, some good ones. Has not gotten himself the quality start and allowed, you know, a decent number of earned runs. His ERA is 5, but it doesn't necessarily represent exactly what he has been doing. I mean, you look at his Sierra and his XFIP, which are 3, and his XFIP is 2.7. That's where the ERA departs from the rest of the indicators. I think what you worry about in this situation is that Detroit is only good versus lefties, right? I mean, this has kind of always been the story with Detroit. They hit the ball hard only against lefties, so they only play well about 25% of the time. 18% strikeout rate and a 108 WRC plus. That's good enough for to be sixth in the league right now. So you worry a little bit about that. And I think that would be the caveat here, but I don't think people are on to Marco Gonzalez's numbers. And I think he's interesting in that he's going to come low owned. And this kid has shown us some good control. I always look at that walk K walk ratio. And the reason I do is because if you're locating your pitches, then you're capable of getting strikeouts and getting calls and having things go your way. And he seems like he is capable of doing that. So he's interesting to me. He's a name that I'm going to watch. I noticed one thing, by the way, an aside. I noticed that I hope that people appreciate the honesty of when I talk about a player that I will give you his pros and his cons. The reason I do that is because I don't think it's necessarily completely honest for someone, a tout, to just say, yes, he's guaranteed, he's a lock. That confidence is not part of this game. There are variables. And so I'm presenting you with the whole case, and hopefully it allows you to make informed decisions and understanding what you value. I don't know what you value. I present everything for you. You decide what you want. People have different lineup construction ideas. So I know it seems like dithering, but hopefully what it is an objective, opinion and without, you know, trying to be a salesman. I'm not a salesman. I'm not trying to sell you, anything except for Justin Verlander versus the Texas Rangers, which I think you know, is a lock. I'm kidding. Suarez, the Giants pitcher, similar. This guy, young fella, 25, pitching really well right now, 27% K rate. Now, that's not going to stay. And the reality is that he's got a 7% swinging strike rate and he's allowed 50% hard contact. So, whoa, slow down. But the Sierra 2.89 is phenomenal, XFIP at 3. And where does that come from? Well, you know, he's had some really good outings. The kid has had some good outings, specifically one nice one highlighted by a Padres game where he went 7 innings, 5 Ks. He just went out against the Braves. Did not give up an earned run, got a run there, but was not earned. One walk against them, 6 Ks through 5 innings. So there's something here. He'll get the Pirates. You know, big ballpark, we like that. He's used to a big ballpark at home. But the Pirates versus lefties, you know, not necessarily a great matchup. They have been hitting lefties pretty well. They are right behind the Braves right now in WRC plus a 20% strikeout rate. So if you want to, you're not really getting a phenomenal matchup and a good spot for Suarez. But at the same time, I think that if you're looking for 5 innings, 5 Ks type situation, he should be an interesting guy. I think he should be sharp. And listen, I mean, he went up against a high quality offense in the Braves versus lefties. 5 innings, 6 Ks. One walk. He looked really good. So there's something there. Like let's keep our eye on that. Now I also want to mention a couple other guys. Kenta Maeda is one that I think we should probably pay attention to. And you know, it's hard to talk yourself. Frankly, it's hard to talk yourself out of some of the guys. You know, it's very difficult to talk me out of Scherzer and Sale and Verlander. But if you want to get some bats in your lineup, you're going to have to figure out who the hell to pitch. And frankly, there's not a ton of other options. So let's look at Kenta Maeda, who, you know, really pretty solid numbers, frankly. The decent numbers for Maeda, 29% strikeout rate. We know the swinging strikes are always going to be there, 14%. He's always been a good guy at generating whiffs. Walk rate's fine. Hard contact is up, 38% hard contact rate, but Sierra 3.25 looking sharp. So Maeda is a guy that we know is capable. Now, of course, because he's a Dodgers pitcher, he's only gone into the sixth twice. Not my favorite situation, but versus Cincinnati, not necessarily a threatening offense, not a bad offense, not a threatening offense, though. 20% K rate and 85 WRC plus. So not necessarily cooking up a lot of fear. They're very similar, you know, similar offensive numbers, well, beyond the strikeout rate to San Diego in a lot of ways. So not really much to worry about with Maeda. You just hope he gets deep into the game, which is not a thing that he's been doing lately, because he's a Dodgers pitcher. None of them go deep into the game. They just, you know, they take these guys out. Yeah, so those are the pitchers that I'm looking at. Just to recap, I think I rank them. Verlander and Scherzer firmly tied. Sale versus the Jays, the second option, obviously. Bauer, interesting. Maeda, very interesting. Maeda and Bauer, probably very interesting as two kind of middle-tier options. And Marco Gonzalez and Andrew Suarez, two guys that don't necessarily have good matchups, but I'm keeping my eye on their performance because I really like the way that they are pitching right now, and I would not be surprised if you see a good number from them in the way that they're cooking. All right, let's talk a little bit about the sticks here. Some interesting options because you do have cores. So, you know, we may as well talk cores quickly before we go too deep into this slate. Milwaukee will continue their series there. Chad Bettis, Zach Davies. How do you deal with it? Well, you know, Rockies at home versus Zach Davies is absolutely in play, frankly, and it's very similar to what we saw tonight. You have Chuck Blackman versus a righty, and Davies has been not great, you know, and he's kind of never had overwhelming stuff, and right now he's really not generating enough enough soft contact to really be doing well. Is here at 4.6, but a hard contact rate of 41%. So obviously you see that hard contact rate and you see some of the numbers on Zach, and you start to think a little bit harder about Chuck Blackmon and Nolan Arenado. Now, he's a pretty even splits guy. In fact, more hard contact to the right side of the plate. They've been hitting him just as well as lefties. A few more fly balls to the left side, but the hard contact on the right side of the plate. So it's, you know, it's not a concern. I think the concern that you have is what I mentioned today on the show. The Rockies versus right-handed pitching are not a good baseball team, according to a lot of the numbers. Now, could they generate six runs? Yes. Per dollar, how worthwhile is that? You know, you're always overpaying for Coors, and unless you have an absolute explosion spot, you're probably compromising somewhere else in your lineup. Now, Chad Bettis, on the opposite side of this, you know, it's hard to really feel good or bad. I like pitchers against Milwaukee, but Bettis really does not have the numbers. He's kind of almost a comp to exactly what Zach Davies is doing. Depressed K rate, some swinging strikes, some hard contact, some fly balls. He's not really exciting or interesting in any single particular way. We know we have the lefties. He just hasn't really been getting rocked by them. You know, it's kind of been the same stories. Actually been able to keep the lefties in relative check. And that's the interesting thing about Bettis, is he's almost working in a reverse splits way this year thus far. 47% ground ball rate, only 31% hard contact to the left side, whereas the righties are getting a hold of him. So I don't know that I want to overpay for Milwaukee. It's a team that strikes out a lot, and unless it's a slam spot, I mean, we'll see how they play tonight, but I don't necessarily know that you have to have Coors on a 14-game slate. I often think what I think is like, okay, take it out of Coors Field. All things being equal, is it possible that another team could score more runs than the Rockies or the Brewers? And in this situation, the answer is absolutely yes. So that's kind of the way that I evaluate Coors or no Coors. And it's, you know, it's can I find better point per dollar value outside of Coors Field? Now that we have talked about Coors Field a little bit, gotten that elephant out of the room, let's talk about the Red Sox versus Aaron Sanchez. It's not going to be an inexpensive endeavor if you try to get yourself some Red Sox here. But there's some things about the way that Aaron Sanchez is pitching that I feel like that last outing versus Boston, not really that big of a deal. I mean, 55% ground ball rate, fine, but the Sierra's at 5.1, and part of that is because he has a 12% walk rate, and this was the problem last year. He can't really locate and control his stuff. 15% K rate, 12% walk rate. Hard contact is not a huge issue. 30% hard contact rate, but if you're going to walk guys, if you're going to let them be patient, it just seems like you're going to allow base runners, you're going to allow hits. And in that Boston game, the last time out, he did allow 5 base runners, a few earned runs, 1 dinger. And I just feel like the second time around, it may not be pretty. And he's giving it up to the lefties. The xFIP jumps up to 6.4 against the left side. Hard contact jumps against the left side. You know, the fly balls are still not there because he's very good at ground ball pitcher. But I still think that he could generate, you know, we could generate some base runners here against Sanchez and have an interesting option in the Red Sox. I'm also very interested in Houston versus Cole Hamels. You know, that's no surprise. You guys know that I'm always interested in an opportunity of the Astros versus a lefty that they've already hit 4 home runs off of this year. Even more interesting, looking at the BVP, I mean, and you can look at the BVP because these guys face each other a lot. You know, it's silly. Springer has destroyed this guy. Evan Gattis has destroyed this guy. Brian McCann has hit this guy well over the years. You know, Altuve, Correa, Bregman, the other righties, not particularly, but they've only got like a two-year sample. The rest of the guys who've seen him a couple more times, absolutely destroying it. And it's the numbers on the Astros right now aren't mind-blowing, but they're coming around. They're, you know, slowly but surely, those ISO, that WOBA, it's all creeping in the right direction. Now, George Springer is still very, like, he's electric right now versus lefties. But we're going to continue to see Alex Bregman is going to come into some good numbers. Don't worry about it. you know, and of course, Correa and Altuve are going to do the same thing. It's just they're slowing down right now. There hasn't been a lot of good production for them. So I think some exposure is warranted, but I also think that the George Springer Dinger one-off is one of my favorite little ads on the slate. It feels good. We know he can hit Cole Hamels. We know he's going to see plenty of good opportunities against him, you know, being first in the order. So zero issue going to a George Springer one-off or maybe a little Springer Altuve combo. You know, Gaddison McCann, I mentioned, they're Gaddis specifically, he's cheap. You could fill him in there for funsies if you wanted to. I also think that I feel the same way about the Yankees versus Triggs. Triggs has got some decent numbers right now on the whole, right? Like a 24% strikeout rate. He looks solid. Sierra's below four. He seems to be doing well. Like he's figured something out here. And then you look at the splits. He's striking out left-handers, but when they hit it, they're hitting it hard and they're hitting it in the air. He's 40-40, 43-41, hard contact, fly ball. That in Yankee Stadium is going to play right into Didi Gregorius's hands. So I think I feel the same way about the Astros and the Yankees. A couple of them. They're expensive, but they're fun one-offs. Like Didi is a great one-off tomorrow night. Brett Gardner is a perfectly fine one-off tomorrow night. So that would be where I'm at the Yankees. Maybe Brett Gardner, Didi Gregorius, and then on the, you know, on the Houston side of things, like Springer and, you know, Correa or whoever you want to do, whatever your need, your lineup needs are. Well, you couldn't play Correa and Didi. So Springer and Altuve, right? So you kind of have this, like these pairs of guys who are solid one-off type thing. So we'll see. I think that that's an interesting way to approach those high price guys. However, I do kind of want a full stack of, Cleveland, versus Jason Hamill, who, you know, compared to those other two guys I just mentioned, has not had a good year. Fly ball rate at 36%, K rate down at 12%, Sierra's above 5, hard contact at 43%. He's going to go into Cleveland and face a team that, you know, listen, they've struggled. They haven't been really hot, but we trust these batters and we should trust these batters. And you have plenty to like for the lefties here. And so I have zero problem full stacking the Cleveland Indians here. So I'm going to start obviously with two guys who are platoon guys in the top of the order there, Kipnis and Brantley. They're relatively inexpensive. Yonder Alonso will go into the six hole. 1-2-3 lefties. And then it's kind of, what do? You do Frank Lindor? Do you do Jose Ramirez? Do you do E5? Because listen, all of them hit righties. They all hit righties. And so it's just a murderer's row for Jason Hamill here of guys who are going to be capable. And I think it's up to what your needs are in your lineup in that stack. But I mean, Jose Ramirez, Frank Lindor, like the numbers are just obscene right now versus right-handers. 415 WOBA and a 315 ISO for Ramirez. That'll obviously adjust, but 8 home runs on the year versus right-handers. Frank's got 7 home runs this year against right-handers. Pick your poison, mix and match, go with the 3-man lefty, then add Ramirez, add, you know, and then pick a different lineup, add Lindor, pick a different lineup, add E5, who E5, his numbers are great too. I mean, he's been really nice with a WOBA 318 and ISO at 230. He's had 6 dingers against right-handers. So, I mean, it just, come on. Like, zero problems with attacking Jason Hamill here in this situation. I think it's just cost. And one of the nice things is that Yonder Alonso, because of the way that he is, platooned, he is not necessarily always in the lineup. And he's not going to really, command a big salary because he doesn't really hit left-handed pitching and he kind of disappears. If we want to attack Hamill, I think we do it there, but I'm also, anybody who can hit the two-seamer, it seems like that's one of the weaknesses right now. It's really hurting him. And for me, looking at some of the numbers here, one of my favorite websites, by the way, AddMoreFunds.com, great guy, runs that, great, great resource, sign up, support, that's a phenomenal website. But yeah, Yonder's going to hit the two-seamer. Jose Ramirez is going to hit the two-seamer. Frank Lindor is going to hit the two-seamer. So, yes, get them all. Get them all. Get them all. Get them all. Cleveland. I love Cleveland because they're reliable. I feel like that emotionally. They've helped me a lot. I don't know if that's and necessarily something emotionally how I feel is something that you factor into your day-to-day, but I just wanted to be emotionally honest with you guys. Dodgers versus Brandon Finnegan. Begin again, Finnegan. Yikes, pal. Higher walk rate than K rate. That's not good. And guys, I know you may think to yourself, well, Sean, walks, and there are only 3 points. Walks are an indicator of how the guy is cooking, right? Like, if he's walking, he doesn't want to walk. No major league pitcher wants to walk anybody. Bad. Walks, bad. If you're walking people, it's a bad sign. It's one thing that I always look for. It means he's going to get pulled. You're going to get different pitchers, that kind of thing. It's not good, right? Generate base runners, multi-run opportunities, that kind of thing. Sierra at 6.13 for Finnegan. Yikes. Yikes, 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 yikes. Now, we know we're a little thin on the lefties here, but of course, I'm going to start with Bellinger. Or excuse me, we're thin in LA, but he is a lefty. And I will play Bellinger. Bellinger hits lefties very, very well. Obviously, we want to get some righties involved in there as well. Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, no problem with either of those guys. But this seems like a prime Bellinger spot. And the reason I say that, 50% fly ball rate for Finnegan to the left side of the plate, even though he is a lefty. This is going to be a situation where sometimes people forget the guy can hit both sides of the plate. This is a great spot. So I'm building around Bellinger. I'm adding Chris Taylor. I'm adding Kike Hernandez. A fourth option. The Dodgers lineup sometimes hard to project, hard to predict. But Matt Kemp has been really good and he's been up there. So you can really go 1-5 here and feel good about Yasmani Grandal. Austin Barnes is a guy that sometimes is useful against left-handers. But I like it all. Like I love the Dodgers here. They're relatively inexpensive. Matt Kemp, though, the way he's playing, I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to say his numbers are too good right now for Matt Kemp. And they are. He's not hitting dingers, but he's getting hits and he's running the bases really well. So he is a guy that I absolutely would gravitate towards in this situation. All right, moving over. I think I'm going to go back to the A's here versus Sonny Gray. And listen, Sonny is not doing well. The numbers are bad, and I hope he figures it out because this guy is when he's going good, it's fun, but it's not going well right now. And the numbers are really, really bad. I mean, an 18% K rate, a 13% walk rate. So no K walk ratio. The fly balls are at 30%. Fine, that's not bad. But the hard contact up to 36%. And the Sierra up to 5.1. And all of a sudden he's going to face his old team who, say what you will about that, he's going to know their tendencies, what they want to bite on and everything. But at the same time, I think they're going to know. They have him scouted. Expect this. This is what he'll do. This is where that ball is going to be placed. This is where his spot is. This is where he can't hit. There's his pocket. That kind of thing. And so you get a 38% hard contact rate to left-handers. You guys know I love that lefty stack against the I love a good lefty stack the A's. And it's pretty easy to fit in. Matt Joyce and Matt Olson are very cheap, and they're going to be in the 2 and the 5. And then you add Jed Lowry. You can add Chris Davis. You can add Semien. You can do it however you want. But you start with those cheap guys, and then you can move around from there. As far as what hitters we want to attack Gray with, it's the two-seamer and the changeup right now that are giving him most trouble. And that makes Chris Davis very interesting, who has been very comfortable with the two-seamer. Matt Joyce, interesting as well. Behind him, Matt Olson, interesting as well. And looking at Mark Canha's numbers, who, and Matt Chapman, two righties that, you know, sometimes sneak in there. They're hitting that pitch well. Now on the changeup side of things, Matt Olson is profiling pretty nicely here this year. Now, you know, some of these numbers are a small sample size, but there's a pretty clear indicator in my mind a lot of times that pitch type is something that guys look for, feel comfortable with, gravitate, finds their swing plane in a lot of cases. And so that's why you see good numbers against certain pitches because, okay, pace, space, timing, swing plane, you know, and so you gravitate towards certain pitches over other guys, and that's why they have success. Who knows? I'm not enough of a baseball guy to be able, but it works. And when I'm trying to narrow down a field of hitters, so Olson and Chapman for sure. Excuse me, Olson and the Joyce, the two Matts. You can include the other Matt too, Matt Chapman, if you want. Jed Lowry, if you want. Chris Davis, though, man, in that small park should be fun. I would love to see him get one out of there. And listen, he's good. He's been good. He's not going to give. He's very rarely will he donut you, especially with the way that offense is moving right now. Let's talk a little bit about the Braves. Right? Why not? I talk about the Braves all the time because, like the Phillies, who are interesting, by the way, the righties, they just are kind of coming on this year. And Straley is rough right now. Like, pile it on, Dane Straley. Like, I thought maybe he would bounce back in his first start. Nope. Everything is going wrong. 42% hard contact rate, no strikeouts, 7% strikeout rate. The swinging strike is there, which means maybe the Ks will come back, but 20% walk rate. Obviously, it's only two starts, a very small sample. It's going to normalize, but that's just a bad sign that he's not really locating. He's not really doing what he wants. He's finding more mistakes. A 44% fly ball rate. Sierra's at 8. Now, this guy is going to figure it out. He's going to get back, calm everything down. It's going to be a little bit easier to deal with. But until then, we're gonna fuck with him. Right? I mean, that's the only thing. So both sides of the plate, no issue with either one here, lefties and righties. I think you go to Acuna, you go to Albies. Obviously, those guys are always interesting. Stolen bases and Freeman, no problem going to Freeman here. Straley is going to throw let me pick this pitch type stuff up here. Hold on one second. Straley is going to throw just a four-seamer. And that four-seamer, as well as the slider, those are going to be the primary two. Four-seamer, slider, change. That's a Freddie Freeman. That's a Freddie Freeman pitch if I've ever seen it. Guys, I mean, that 90-mile-an-hour four-seamer, Freddie Freeman is just going to – he's going to do things to you, and it's going to be painful, and it's not going to be very fun. But I also think you could talk yourself into Nick Markakis, who's hitting those pitches well. He's been hitting well, period. Ender Inciarte hitting well right now. I never like him because he's now low in the order. He was earlier in the order, but he's interesting. He's interesting indeed. That's where I'm at with Braves for sure. Freeman is another guy that you could just one-off and feel good. You know, there's a couple expensive one-offs that are going to be fun. And I think Bellinger, Freeman, Springer, Dinger, Gregorius, those are guys that I'm going to try to get into some of these cheaper stacks and potentially align there. Cheaper, not really the word that I would use for the Mariners, but I think they might go a little bit under own. Matt Boyd, we talked about him, you know, kind of a tale of two guys here. Matt Boyd, he's had some really good starts, but at the same time, he gives up a lot of fly balls. Okay, he's a lefty, so I immediately am going to go Nelly Cruz. Hello. The way that these Mariners hit lefties, I just never want to miss an opportunity because I don't want to miss a thing. You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody's ever said that before, but I don't want to miss a thing. And I think that Aerosmith kind of really makes – makes me think about starting the Mariners here. Listen, a 17% strikeout rate is not great. Sierra at 4.7, not great. 51% fly ball rate, not great. 26% hard contact, that's pretty good. Okay, and his last two starts, 5 total earned runs, 13 total innings, 12 total Ks, that's serviceable. Like, that's serviceable. He's got something there. I just want to be on the right side of the blowups because they happen to this guy every once in a while. I mean, he did it in Pittsburgh. He lasted 3 innings. He gave up 7 hits, 3 walks, a dinger, and 4 quick earned runs. Like, that's when you want to be on this guy, and it's there. It's very possible. The ball sails on him. So look at the numbers, see what Vegas has to say, see what how the weather changes things. But I think the Mariners' righties go a little bit under-owned. And, of course, it's Segura, Haniger, Cruz, and Nelly. It's Segura, Haniger, and Cruz. Those are the 3 core guys. And then you can kind of, you know, do whatever you want from there, whether it be Robbie Cano, who struggling, by the way, Robbie Cano, for sure. Numbers really are not there for Rob. D. Gordon, though, playing well at the top of that order. But the 3 guys, you know what I just said. I just said it. I'm interested. Segura, Cruz, Haniger, those are the 3. Also an interesting pivot play, I think the Cardinals, and I talked about them as a pivot tonight. We'll see if they do anything. But I think Lauer is, you know, first of all, you've got a murderer's row of righties here in this Cardinals lineup versus left-handed pitching. Now, the numbers haven't really shown for them. They are not, you'd want them to be a little bit better versus lefties right now. Only an 89 WRC plus, but I mean, you look at the individual hitters and it's hard not to like Tommy Pham, Jose Martinez, Marcelo Ozuna, Jed Yurko, Paul DeJong. The way these guys hit lefties, the numbers are there as individual hitters. And so it's hard to walk away from an opportunity where they're going to be facing a lefty potentially at the end of the night and fewer people play them. They haven't had a lot of games against lefties, but they certainly have an interesting opportunity. And these guys can slug, and every single one of them can leave the yard. You know, they just haven't had a lot of opportunity against lefties this year. And, you know, I'm looking at that sample size. In fact, I'm looking back here now. St. Louis has, yeah, I mean, only 301 plate appearances versus left-handers, which is actually the 3rd lowest in the league. So, you know, skewing things just a touch, I'm sure. And, you know, compare that to, like, the Giants. They have played 600 plate appearances versus lefties, and so their numbers are a little bit more normalized, and you start to, you know, see the sample size be a little bit more trustworthy. But I want to be aggressive here, and I think that the Cardinals, could get to Lauer. And listen, like I said, he's been good, but he's still young. There's still some indicators that maybe the numbers aren't exactly what we think they are. A 20% strikeout rate, a 7% swinging strike rate, fine. Okay, those look normal. 10% walk rate, well, he's a rookie, right? Okay, well, 39% hard contact rate, that's where I start to say, aha, now we have something. Now we have something. And you look at a 393 wOBA allowed to right-handers, the walk rate goes up to right-handers, the K rate goes down against right-handers, and a 44% hard contact rate to right-handers. So all of a sudden, you start to set up this profile of this guy who could potentially get smacked by this murderer's row of righties. I might be higher on the cards than some, but the individual players that they have just versus left-handed pitching, you want it, because this is a team where 4 different guys can hit you home runs. I mean, and that's GPP winning stuff. So, hey guys, good luck in your contest tonight. Good luck. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. If you want to get involved with the cheat sheet, see, you know, good annotated version of all of our picks, get there. $10 a month. It's easy. It's fun. Good community, guys. You're supporting the show. I will talk to you all.